part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Chapter 18, and they called him the Green Ranger. I remember coming home from school, and I wasn't even sure what time I got home. I just remember turning on the TV and tuning into Fox. There was a block of programming geared towards kids my age, Fox Kids. One of the most memorable shows in that block was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I don't even know how I started watching this show, but somehow it became the staple of my childhood. It became the staple of a lot of people's childhood. Over the years, the iterations of the Power Rangers evolved with the times, but the message it delivered remained constant. In the original series, five teenagers were imbued with the powers of five power coins by Zordon, a cosmic being who became trapped between dimensions, each represented by a different color: red, black, blue, yellow, and pink. The calling of these five teenagers, called Rangers, was simple: protect the world from an ancient evil that was hell-bent on destroying the world. In each episode, was a new monster or new big bad. In each episode, the Rangers would call upon their powers to fight back the forces of evil. It was a pretty simple concept. Until one episode, when Rita, the arch nemesis of the Power Rangers and their leader Zordon, uses a sixth power coin to create her own Ranger. And who does she imbue with the power coin? The new kid on the block, Tommy Oliver. When Tommy showed up on the scene and was imbued with the power of the green power coin, things changed. And for the first time, we saw something we had never seen on a show like this. The good guys lost, and it was magnificent. From the Hyman blog and the Press Play Podcast Network, I'm J.D. Hyman. As a black man living here in America, I am living proof that while all men were created equal, not all men are equal. We're here to dig into the American political system, explore and unearth experiences from the human condition, and be a catalyst for some hard conversations that need to be had, conversations that demand to be had. No matter what brought you here, I'm glad you came. Once again, my name is J.D. and this is the Hyman Podcast. Prologue. This episode of the Hyman Podcast is dedicated to Jason David Frank. While he was many things to many people, to me and a lot of people my age, he was Tommy Oliver, the Green Ranger. He was the big brother we never knew we needed, a hero in his own right, and he was iconic in so many ways. He lived a life in service to others, and he will be missed. Part 1. It started with a fight. When we are first introduced to the character of Tommy Oliver, he's in the middle of a martial arts match with Jason Scott. While Jason is able to hold his own, he's not quite able to best Tommy, and the match ends in a draw. With the match ending, the five friends decide to head back to school. While there, Kimberly runs into Tommy and invites him to hang out with the rest of their group. So from there, Rita discovers that perhaps Tommy has the potential to be just the thing she's been searching for. So, she sets up a test to test his might, to see if he can hold his own against her putty patrol. And what do you know? He kicks butt. And with that, she kidnaps him, turns him into the Green Ranger, and places him under a spell. And as her first command as his empress, she unleashes him on the Rangers. Using the power coin, he's able to infiltrate the command center. When he arrives, he neutralizes Alpha 5 and begins to destroy the computer consoles in the command center, effectively disabling Zordon. When the Rangers get a cryptic distress call, they head to the command center to find it's been wrecked. Alpha 5's out of commission, and Zordon is missing. Rita, on the other hand, is just getting started. She summons a monster to wreak havoc on Angel Grove, and despite the mess of the command center, they leap into action. The monster is quickly subdued, but the Rangers encounter another problem, a new threat, a new Ranger. Originally, they're perplexed. Who is this new ranger and how is he able to defeat them with so much ease? After retreating from the battle, they return to the still damaged command center and attempt to restore Alpha 5 to full functionality. Rita continues to train Tommy in the evil ways and then allows him to return to high school, where his cold and distant behavior is immediately noticed by Kimberly, who seemingly had a crush on him up until this point. The Rangers need to prioritize getting the command center back online, and as such, Jason isn't able to fulfill an obligation to train with Tommy, who, unbeknownst to him, is evil. As Jason walks away, Tommy teleports him to the dark dimension where he has no way to teleport back or contact the other Rangers. And to add insult to injury, he now has to face Goldar without his ability to morph. As soon as the Rangers realize Jason is missing, they go on a desperate search to find him, but to no avail. With Jason left to his own devices and in mortal danger, the Rangers in the still crippled command center attempt to locate him. Kimberly and Zack track down Tommy because they remember that he was supposed to be training with him. They find Tommy, but before they're able to confront him, they're attacked by putties. They quickly subdue the gray menaces, but Tommy is long gone. Now, they're faced with the question as to why the putties didn't attack Tommy. Jason, having successfully evaded attempts on his life by Goldar, is nowhere near out of danger, because now he has to face the Green Ranger. The Green Ranger is equipped with the Sword of Darkness, and just as he's about to finish Jason off, the other Rangers are able to lock onto his communicator and safely teleport him back to the command center. No sooner than Jason is free and back with his fellow Rangers, Rita strikes again, this time releasing two monsters on Angel Grove, Scorpina along with her beloved Goldar. She uses her wand to make them grow into giants, and the Rangers are left with no choice but to summon their Zoras to finish the fight. But then things take a turn for the worst. Rita then casts a spell that causes a solar eclipse, which we learn the Megazord draws most of its power from the sun. While the Rangers are busy taking on two big bads, Rita sends the Green Ranger back to the command center to finish the job. But this time, Alpha 5 is waiting and traps him inside a force field. Back on the battleground, with the sun now fully eclipsed, the Rangers call upon the Power Sword for one last reserve of power. They get up, engage with Goldar and Scorpina, seemingly winning, until Rita frees the Green Ranger from Alpha 5's force field, summons him to the battlefield, grows him to match the Megazord, and with the Sword of Darkness, he's able to best the Megazord. The Rangers are ejected from the Megazord, who then separate into each of the individual Zords, and they fall into a pit of fire. The Rangers are devastated. The Zords are destroyed. They retreat back to the command center, lost at what to do next, until Alpha 5 informs them that while he had the Green Ranger in the force field, he was able to run a scan on his bio makeup, and it's then he's able to reveal his identity as Tommy Oliver. Armed with the true identity of the Green Ranger, the team head back to Angel Grove. Kimberly confronts Tommy at the youth center, where he informs her that the Rangers are going to be destroyed and so will the power. But Kimberly assures him that won't be the case. Tommy returns as the Green Ranger and uses his dragon flute to summon the dragon Zord. Zordon is then restored back to full power, and so is the Megazord. The Rangers jump into action and use their new renewed strength to destroy the Sword of Darkness, effectively freeing Tommy from Rita's spell. With Rita defeated and on the retreat, Tommy joins the other Rangers at the command center, where Zordon officially offers Tommy a place on the team as the prophesied Sixth Ranger. As the show progressed, Tommy's role evolved. He eventually became the White Ranger, Red Zeo Ranger, the Red Turbo Ranger, and the Black Dino Ranger. But being a Ranger was just a different part of the life of Jason David Frank. He also had a real life that was accompanied by real life problems, and we'll dive into that right after the break.
What's up, everyone? Chase Smith here, host of the Chase Smith Podcast, and my podcast reflects who I am. My hobbies, my interests, my passions, my curiosities, my careers, my questions, and my family. I'll spend time talking about all types of sports, movies, TV shows, trending news stories, and other cultural events, and even faith. This is who I am, and I hope I can get to know you as well. Join me on the Chase Smith Podcast, and let's have some thought-provoking conversations only on the Press Play Podcast Network.
Hello, Brooks here with the Books with Brooks monthly book club podcast. Here's how Books with Brooks works. We read one book a month, and then we talk about it. Classics like Stephen King's The Shining, debut novels like We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lang, and tons of other compelling, life-changing stories, one book and one month at a time. So come read along with us, and then listen in.
Part 2, The Karate Kid. Jason David Frank was born on September 4th, 1973 in Covina, California. Jason was originally set to appear in 14 episodes of the Power Rangers series, but due to the popularity of his character, he was brought on as a series regular. His work in the Power Rangers franchise was legendary. He was known for his ability to connect with his fans and appeared at numerous Comic-Cons across the country. In 1994, at the age of 24, he married Shauna Frank, who he was married to until 2001. He remarried to Tammy Frank, and the couple remained married until filing for divorce in 2022. Jason was proficient in many different forms of martial arts and held a black belt in most of those disciplines, including Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Judo, Shotokan Karate, and Taekwondo. He was married twice, had four children, and fans that spanned the entire globe. Jason's first film was actually Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie. He reprised this role in the sequel and made a cameo appearance alongside Amy Jo Johnson, who portrayed the original Pink Ranger in the 2017 reboot. In addition to his film and television work, Jason was also an accomplished MMA fighter. As one could imagine, he had a flawless record and even held a Guinness World Record for breaking the most 1-inch pine boards in freefall. While he didn't hold the record for long, it was still one of his many accomplishments. For the most part, he kept a full schedule, touring the country, visiting various conventions, training, the occasional short movie or web series, spending time with his family, living what one could have only assumed was his best life, until it wasn't. While Jason had an impressive life on the outside, the inside, however, was fraught with turmoil on a variety of levels. Between marital problems and a host of mental health issues, Jason was unraveling faster than he was able to put himself back together again. He didn't completely give up. He recognized the strife he was experiencing and he reached out to friends for help. Jason struggled with a lot of different things, including the deaths of both his older brother Eric and more recently his mother Janice, who lost her battle with cancer a few years ago. Jason struggled, like most of us do, with bouts of depression and loneliness. On the last day of his life, Jason had gotten into an argument with his estranged wife to some degree, and then locked himself in his hotel room. In the early morning hours of November 19th, Tammy, concerned that she hadn't heard anything from Jason, called the police for a wellness check on his hotel room. Jason's body was discovered in the bathroom. He had hanged himself. Jason was an inspiration to many people, myself included. He was the impetus behind many childhood games, toys, and a host of other memorabilia. Jason loved meeting fans. He loved signing autographs, taking pictures, and interacting with the people he'd impacted over the years. Jason's death brought about a type of mourning uncommon among celebrities and their fans, and maybe that had a lot to do with the amount of interaction he had with them. But it also says a lot about him as a person. While to some people he was just a Power Ranger, his purity of spirit and wholesome generosity showed his true character. He was undeniably loved by many and had an unending impact on so many lives. He will truly be missed. Jason was 49 years old and is survived by four adult children, Hunter, Jacob, Sky, and Jenna. He was known for a lot of things, and like I said earlier, he was many things to many different people. But to me, to us, you will always be the Green Ranger. And like they say, once a ranger, always a ranger. Jason David Frank, thank you for the childhood memories. Thanks for giving me something to run home to. Thanks for giving us all something to believe in. Someone to look up to, someone who we could emulate. I hope that in everything we do, we serve your memory well. I hope that the kindness that once resided in you is passed on to those whose lives you touched. I hope that no matter what, we remember what you contributed to this world and not the way you left it. So here's to the Green Ranger, who came out of nowhere, shook up the world we knew and changed it forever. Rest in power, my friend. Rest in power. If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, thoughts, or ideations of suicide, help is available by dialing 988 or texting STRENGTH to the crisis text line at 741-741 or by visiting 988lifeline.org, and you can be connected to a certified crisis counselor. Just remember one thing. You are not alone. My name is JD Hyman. This is the Hyman Podcast. I'll see you next time. The Hyman Podcast was written, edited, and produced by myself. Share with guests, Whitney Hall and Mary Louise Layton co-produce and research. Cover art and branding by Kevin Aki. The theme music was composed and produced by Jim Yosef with additional music licensed from Epidemic Sound. The Hyman Podcast is a production of the Press Play Podcast Network. Press Play is staffed by Chase Smith, our CEO and fearless leader. I serve as Chief Operating Officer, and Brooks May is the Chief Creative Officer. To learn more about the network, sponsorships, guest appearances, or if you're interested in launching your own podcast on our network, visit us on the web at www.pressplaypodcast.com. To learn more about this podcast, our mission and vision, or for sponsorship information, please visit us on the web at www.jdhyman.com.